WMFO Medford. Good afternoon, everybody. It's gorgeous out there. I don't know, my car said 78 degrees, then it went to 79, then it went to 80. It said it broke a record in Boston for 75 degrees, so yeah, it's beautiful. It is totally wonderful. But tomorrow it's going to rain and get cooler. So anyway, well, we'll take this. We will definitely be very happy. So we just heard the Wholesale Klezmer Band, and it was Tanzgemisch, a dance melody, from Yidden von Amal, Jews of Long Ago, Offenkommener Productions. And the folks on that band, in that band, let's see, where have I got my little handy-dandy list? Brian Bender on trombone, Owen Davidson on accordions and vocal, Peggy Davis on flute and vocal, Richie Davis on percussion and vocal, Yossi Joe Curlin on lead vocal and violin, Lynn Lovell on bass viol, and Sherry Mayrent, music director, clarinets, and vocal. So, I heard these folks live, but it's been a while, and they have quite a few other CDs out. So that was, and then prior to that, we heard the Klezmatics. Their CD is Rise Up, Die Geister, Ghosts. And in that, let's see, we have Lisa Gutkin plays a 1978 Samuel, I can't even pronounce it, what kind of violin, with a special bow. Lauren Sklemberg plays, oh, I see, this is where they're talking about, okay, I don't need that, I just want who's who. Okay, so Lauren on lead vocals, accordion, high-strung guitar, and piano. High-strung guitar. I never heard it called like that. Frank London. Now, Frank London was with the Klezmer, some of the Klezmer Conservatory Band at this concert that I attended at Symphony Hall with Itzhak Perlman, and he was terrific. So he's playing trumpet on this. He's playing flugelhorn, cornet, alto horn, piano, organ, keyboards, percussion, and vocals. Very busy. He was helping to direct some of the music there too. We had Matt Dariao on alto sax, clarinet, bass clarinet, caval, I don't know what that is, percussion and vocals. Lisa Gutkin on violin, baritone, violin, and vocals. Paul Morissette on electric and acoustic basses, cymbal, piano, violin, Hardanger fiddle, hurdy-gurdy, alto and baritone horns and vocal, and David Licht, drums, percussion, and vocals, etc. Well, anyway, Klezmatics, that was their CD, Rise Up. And we're going to stay a little bit in. I mean, wanted to play something with Andy Statman. In fact, I've got two different things because Andy Statman was part of this whole fabulous evening. And hopefully next week I'll remember to bring and find the right CD from In the Fiddler's House so we can hear some of Itzhak Perlman. He is a very, very funny guy. He was cracking all kinds of jokes. It was wonderful. All right, so we're going to go now to Andy Statman. Here we go. Thank you.
Brooklyn.
Thank you.
I wasn't ready for that to end. That was pretty fabulous. Okay. Andy Statman on the mandolin going nuts. Old Brooklyn is the name of the disc on Sheffa Records, and it's the song is also Old Brooklyn. The guy is just ridiculously fabulous, both on clarinet and on mandolin. And, of course, that's, you know, kind of a bluegrass flavor. He can play any type of music. All right, so here's something important to know. The museum, oh, dear, we don't want to do that. Sometimes you touch the computer and the wrong thing happens. Okay, the museum of, I can't even, all right. The Museum of Science presents National Parks Adventure. There we go. Take the ultimate cinematic off-trail trip. Oh dear. Into the nation's awe-inspiring great outdoors and untamed wilderness with the IMAX film National Parks Adventure at the Museum of Science. Spectacularly wild and beautiful places like Yosemite, Yellowstone, the Everglades, the Redwoods, Arches, and Canyonlands are illuminated as never before with immersive giant screen cinematography, revealing a tapestry of natural wonders that will inspire the adventure in us all. For tickets and more information about the National Parks Adventure IMAX film and other programs and exhibits, visit the Museum of Science website at mos.org. That's mos.org. Or you can call 617-723-2500. But this is a public service message from the Museum of Science and WMFO in Medford Tufts Educational Radio. Well, that sounds like a great film to see. I know that the National Parks, they had a story on this yesterday that they are way underfunded. There are a lot of people visiting and they don't have the budget to maintain all the infrastructure. That's an issue. So maybe they're going to look at other possible ways of getting a public-private partnership to keep things going. So that's the national parks are pretty important. It's something that was pretty unique to this country that we got that started. Of course, in this political environment, trying to get anything like that done now, good luck. I haven't really talked about the election because it's just too revolting for words. But I guess we'll see how it all plays out. There's lots of things still to happen. Certain congressional races and Senate races, trying to keep or not keep who in power. anyway, so yes, I'll have more to say about that, I'm sure. But speaking of things that must go, this is something that I'll share with you. It says, they must go. Apologies to M. Kahane. This was posted by Vic Rosenthal on March 8th. I started to write this while listening to the news on the radio Tuesday evening. There were 3 terror attacks in 3 hours today. 2 stabbings, 1 shooting. At least 1 person is dead, more than 10 wounded. Half of them seriously. In one case, a man pulled the Arab terrorist knife out of his own neck and stabbed his assailant to death. Yes, you read that right. I'm not going to give all the details because this just happened. What's on the internet may be wrong, and anyway, I'm sick of reading about this stuff. And the details aren't important. A just released Pew survey tells us that 48% of Israeli Jews strongly agree or agree with the statement, Arabs should be expelled or transferred from Israel. Now, this is an idiotic question. Are they asking about Arab citizens of Israel or Arab residents of the Palestinian Authority areas or both? Do they mean all Arabs or just those that belong to terror groups? Do they mean expelled by force or given compensation to move? Would they go to Jordan, the U.S., Europe, or Gaza? Does Avigdor Lieberman's plan to require loyalty oaths count? Those who want to paint Israeli Jews as racist ethnic cleansers are already having a field day. Maybe that's why the question was asked this way. But before you pile on, please note that supporters of the, quote, two-state solution, unquote, want to transfer or expel Jews from Judea and Samaria. If you think it's wrong to transfer Arabs, then explain why it's acceptable to transfer Jews. This survey was done between October 2014 and May 2015, before the remarkably bloody Third Intifada began. Imagine if they asked the question again today, after almost half a year of daily stabbings, shootings, and car ramming attacks. Israelis overwhelmingly know that leaving Judea and Samaria would make it impossible for Israel to defend herself against terrorism or conventional attack. Two-state deals, no matter what guarantees are made, involve irrevocable, concrete Israeli concessions in return for promises that can be reneged upon in a flash. We must keep Judea and Samaria, but adding the hostile residents of the territories to our population, which is already about 20% Arab, would bring about certain instability and unending terrorism. The nation would fly apart the way Europe is flying apart. The conclusion is obvious. Israel must assert sovereignty over Judea and Samaria, and most of the Arabs must leave. The necessity of this has been demonstrated since last September, when the Palestinian child soldiers and other terrorists began their daily rampages. There is a cold murderousness in these creatures, who post diagrams on Facebook of where to best stab you so that you will not survive, who hate you so much and whose society, religion, and culture fully validate their hate, that they consider it an honor to die in the process of killing you. Palestinian leaders could have had all kinds of compromises, various forms of autonomy or coexistence, even a sovereign state, but they rejected them all. They wouldn't and won't accept anything but our disappearance. Now it's too late. When they fashioned their children into the knife generation and sent them out to kill, they closed the door on compromise and coexistence. It's over. We are getting a divorce, and they are the ones moving out. They have deluded themselves into thinking that we are like the Crusaders or the French colonists in Algeria, and if they make things hard enough, we'll go back where we came from. But where we came from is here. Their strategy has guaranteed that the only solution for us is for them to leave. And we are the stronger party. So those who are concerned about stopping the wave of murderous terrorism and those who are looking for a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict have a common answer. In the words of Mayor Kahane, they must go. All the rest is implementation. Posted in Israel and Palestinian Arabs. Leave a comment. Well, you probably won't hear it anywhere else. But that is certainly one way to get things dealt with.
Israel Melech. כל פול כי אתו פה אותוי ויובין כל יצול כי אתו יצרתוי וילדה כל פול כי אתו פה אותוי ויובין כל יצול כי אתו יצרתוי
ויימן כל השם נשמה מהפוי השם Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Ira Kodesh. Yerushalayim, Ira Kodesh. B'meheyed b'yomeinu, friends, you have to join me, otherwise it will not sound good. Let's go. Uvenei Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Mirakoydesh, Yerushalayim, Mirakoydesh, Bimeheiro Biomeinu. And there was a voice in heaven. This is a passage in the Psalms. Poyeshev kibisiu, God says, this is my place. This is the place where my holiness should dwell forever. Uvenei Yerushalayim. Yeah.
Okay, that was from Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach, Shalom of Vnei Yerushalayim, Songs of Peace is the name of the disc on Sojourn Records. Before that, Shlomo Katz, Vayeda, from Likrat Shabbat, and it's on Adirat Music, the music of Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach, unpublished compositions. This is an article that was published by Har Sheva, Monday, February 22nd, Rabbi Joseph Gerlitsky, and the writer is the rabbi of Central Tel Aviv and chairman of the rabbinical something. I don't know what cut off there. This is the Lubavitcher Rebbe's plan to beat terror. The Rebbe saw the danger hovering over the Jewish state and gave sage advice for the Jews in the land of Israel. There was a popular joke about a man standing trial for the murder of his own parents. After he is unequivocally proven guilty, the judge turns to him and asks, "Do you have anything to say in your defense?" The defendant replies unhesitatingly, "Yes, I beg the court to show leniency due to my unfortunate situation. I was recently tragically orphaned of both my mother and father. Today, regrettably, this is no longer a joke, but a fact of life. We are constantly being bombarded by claims that Israel is stuck in the current political situation, that our inability to quash the murderous wave of terror now sweeping our streets leaves us no option but to return to the bargaining table. In other words, to surrender, to retreat, and to offer our enemies ever more gifts beyond the capitulation and weakness we have already shown by freezing settlement construction, evicting Jews from their homes, and more. The absurdity of the situation screams out to heaven, for it is the Israeli government that created the current situation. By promoting the warped idea that by giving up a little here, giving up a little there, we will gain a little peace and quiet. We ourselves had convinced the Palestinian Arabs that they can defeat us with their rocks and knives and guns. We ourselves have given them weaponry, money and power, self-identity and a seditious media. We ourselves have granted the Arab citizens of Israel the equal right to identify themselves as Palestinians and to teach their children to seek the destruction of Israel, all the while enjoying, quote-unquote, affirmative action and other benefits while we foot the bill. We ourselves have convinced America and Europe that the Palestinian Arabs are a peaceful, quote-unquote, and enlightened nation who deserve their own country, rather than showing them the sad truth that they are one anti-Semitic entity. And now we announce there's nothing to do. We have to stop ruling over them. And don't forget about for the demographic threat and all the other empty slogans we have been hearing for 30 years. And all the while, those clever pundits with their dangerous slogans shoot back at us. New? So what is your solution? Should we just leave this awful situation the way it is, with innocent Jewish blood being spilled day after day by those murderers, while our security forces stand helpless? God forbid. The Torah forbids us to say, that's how it is. Or as we hear from some of those in the media and Israeli security forces, we have to learn to live with it. There is an authentic Jewish answer. Maimonides writes at the beginning of the laws of public fasts, it is a positive Torah commandment to cry out and sound trumpets over every misfortune that threatens the community. This is one of the paths of repentance, that when misfortune strikes and the people cry out to God and sound trumpets, everyone will realize that these tragedies occur on account of their misdeeds. This repentance will bring an end to the misfortune. However, should the people not cry out to God or sound the trumpets, but rather claim that what happened to us is simply a natural phenomenon, and this misfortune is a mere chance occurrence, then he is being cruel. If a person says, sorry, there is nothing to do, there will always be one wave of terror or another, or offers some version of Maimonides' words, this misfortune is a mere chance occurrence, he is, in the eyes of the Torah, being cruel and heartless. For over 4 months, Jewish blood has been spilled in our streets on a daily basis. Men, women, and children have been attacked and killed in our shops, our homes, and in all places. We must think deeply about the situation and fight against it with all our strength. We don't have to be anthropologists or intelligent agents to find an answer. It is enough to listen to every terrorist who has been caught, every Palestinian protester, and even the Arab members of parliament. The Israelis are scared. They have lost faith in themselves and no longer believe that the land on which they live was given to the patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, actually belongs to them. Proof? They have already folded up their tents and retreated from large tracts of Eretz Yisrael, and they plan on doing so even more. All we have to do is keep exerting pressure, keep striking them, killing and wounding them, frightening them, and causing them to despair. For the more pressure they feel, the more they will give up and give in, until, as the Jewish code of law writes, the land will be easy to conquer. This is just one of the ways the Palestinian Arabs rationalize their actions, and at times, it's the actual motivational inspiring a terrorist who kills Jews with rock or knife or gun or missile. The Oslo Agreement, the Hebron Agreement, freezing prisoners, political negotiations, the ranch, the disengagement, the construction freeze, and the goal of two states for two peoples, all of these are deeply etched in the consciousness of every single Arab who wants to feel part of the historic victory over the Jewish people in the land of Israel. This is more than simply a tailwind to terror. It is both the fuel and the gas pedal that drive it. As much as 40 years ago, the Lubavitcher Rebbe spoke precisely about our current situation. Even his own Hasidim didn't always understand what he was so adamant about and wondered at his heartfelt cries because things didn't look so grim back then. Today, however, everyone realized that the Rebbe simply saw everything and that by merely reading the well-known laws in the Shulchan Aruch, he foresaw the pain that is now being etched into our very flesh. He cried out as though he beheld with his own eyes the knife plunged into the heart of an innocent Jew merely walking down the street. The Rebbe said explicitly in his famous talk with Rabbi Elimelech Naaman, "I see with my own eyes the danger hovering over all who dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem, in Ein Harod, and in Tel Aviv, by handing over parts of Eretz Yisrael to the Goyim. Therefore, I will in no way change my mind about this." The Rebbe foresaw how even the mere suggestion, not an official declaration, of withdrawal and concession in the face of pressure and terrorism would lead to more terrorism, more suicide attacks, and more innocent blood being spilled. In 30 years of terrorism, have we ever seen the residents of an Arab town evicted? In the midst of various confrontations, have we ever seen the general Arab public suffer from the violence or terrorist attacks that they themselves initiated? Never. Yet, we have seen dozens of Jewish settlements cruelly dismantled, synagogues demolished, and Israeli soldiers retreating under fire. What does the Palestinian Arab stand to lose with his wars and his cruelty? After all, he continues to receive our aid, or from the rest of the world through us, as well as electricity, money, weapons, and more. It is a win-win situation, and they stand only to benefit further by increasing their attacks. This brings us to an even more difficult question. Everyone has seen where the Oslo agreements and the disengagement brought us. Palestinian incitement, the tunnels that continue to be dug from Gaza, the monstrous increase in the strength of our enemies, and the Jewish blood that is being spilled like water. Has any of the architects of Oslo and the disengagement ever been brought to trial? Have we ever heard a word of regret from any of them? Have they ever shared some soul-searching with the public? Just the opposite is the case. They continue crying out, "We are orphans. The situation is unbearable. There is no way out but to concede." The time has come to stop living with these lies and to start living with the truth. There is only one way to stop this cycle of blood, and it is to uproot the main incentive and goal of the terrorism and bloodshed. It requires those who formulated the Oslo Accords and the disengagement who continue to work in key positions in the Israeli government to stand up before the entire world and declare, "We are guilty. We have acted wrongly. This whole long road of negotiating and concessions has been one awful mistake from the offset. We take responsibility for all the innocent blood that has been spilled due to our gregariousness. Henceforth, the entire land of Israel will remain under Israeli control unconditionally and in spite of There is only one way to stop this cycle of blood, and it is to uproot the main incentive and goal of all the terrorism and bloodshed. Anything the rest of the world has to say, this is not up for negotiation. It is clear that neither the right-wing government nor the slogans of a war against terror will actually stop the murder and incitement. Only a clear and historic pronouncement that the period of negotiation has ended. The false equation of land for peace will no longer be tolerated. There will never be a Palestinian state, and the Oslo Agreement and everything it implies is thoroughly annulled. One of the ways to accomplish this, according to the Rebbe, is to publicize by every means possible the Pesak Din Halachic decision of the great rabbis of Israel, that any negotiations concerning the handing over territories are a threat to the Jewish people, as the Shulchan Aruch states, and forbidden. Today, even the blind can see just how true this is to our great misfortune. Each and every one of us must publicize this Pesak Din and do all that is in his or her power for the sake of our lives, the lives of our children, and the lives of all Jews who live in the Holy Land. Our lives depend on it, and with God's help, we will be victorious.
Shabbat Nekabela Chadodi 1964, I had the great privilege to to be invited, actually, so to speak, of Baron Rothschild. Not really personally, but, you know, in Paris, in those days, in the 60s, there were thousands of students from Morocco, from Algeria, from all over, Jewish students, and the mamash had nothing to eat. So some people, together with Baron Rothschild, organized a kosher kitchen for students. They get one meal a day, and in order to get money for the food, once a year they had a concert, invite someone to sing, and they sold tickets like $100, $1,000, whatever it was, and they raised from this concert $100,000, which the rest Baron Rothschild was giving. Anyway, I was flying in from New York to Paris, and you know, when you're plugged into music, you know, when I'm sleeping, so you listen mostly to major music, right? In the middle of the night, I woke up and had a tape recorder with me, and this melody just hit me. Anyway, I put it on tape, and anyway, so the next day, at the concert, I said, Yidin, I want you to know, last night, flying here, made up a little melody. Okay, I want you to know, I had great privilege. Baron Rothschild was sitting first row. And I said to him, you know, you're supporting the world with a lot of money. How about bringing one-time joy to the world? Can you please come on stage and start dancing with me? Then everybody will dance after you, right? After Baron Rothschild. I want you to know he was sad enough, and was stupid enough, he didn't keep up the friendship. He mamash jumped on stage, very graceful, very mamash sees. And then we danced out on the street. It was one of the biggest halls in Paris. And you know, Baron Rothschild, the police is there, they stopped the whole traffic. And I would say about 2,000 people were dancing right on that square on the street. It was Adlai v'Shamayim, it was Kabbalah. One of the great nights in my life.
Oh, hearing my Rebbe speak, it's just the sweetest. All right, we're almost out of here. So we listened to Shlomo Carlbach just before Piskuli, Akiva Simcha, the legendary Shlomo Carlbach live in concert for the Jews of Russia on Adirat Music. Before that, Shlomo Carlbach, Bowie V'Shalom from Songs of Peace on Sojourn Records. And we're going to go out with Shlomit and Rebbe Sol Ruach. Ruchi, actually. And time travel is at the ready. So I'll see you next week. Don't be late. Let's see if I got the right one here. Okay.
I know.